You're listening to the Faster Freedom Show, hosted by us, Sam Prim
and Lucas Walls.
Hello and welcome to the Faster Freedom Show. My name is Sam.
And I'm Lucas.
And Lucas, we have a jam-packed episode today. I am excited about it.
I know. We got a little bit of parenting, a little bit of Riddle Me This.
A little bit of real estate.
And then real estate, which sometimes we get away from on here, but I'm excited to have a little segment on that.
Tie it all together. It's like what we're doing, Lucas, is we're tying a shoe, loop, swoop, pull, and it's all together at the end.
How do you keep your shoes tied? What do you do?
Completely different. These are tied underneath the tongue.
That's what I do as well.
But the ones I wore yesterday were just loose in there.
There's got to be a good way to do it. Because when I do loose, like, it's probably more comfortable, but they're always flapping out.
And then, well, that's what she said.
If you're loose.
Ooh, flopping that. All right. Okay. Well, this is E-rated, but this is...
Not for everyone.
Well, it is explicit
it's
rated.
It's not the gaming system, gaming rating system.
No, but this is just, we can say fuck if we want, but
hey.
Our moms do listen to this.
Like everyone.
So we can't say anything. Like, I would have gone a little bit different if I know my mother was not listening to this one.
My mom's like, when's the next podcast coming out? I'm like, Mom, I don't know.
we got our work cut out for us. I had Pace on the last one, Lucas. Pace Morby and my dad said it was his favorite one.
Oh, of course he did.
Well, yes.
From my dad,
at least
did
I was
too.
In it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, your dad probably thinks it's the best one, too. Awesome. So let's get the ball rolling. We got, quickly talk about parenting. I'm going to riddle Lucas and trick him with some riddles. He's going to try to trick me with true and falses. We're going to play a little bit of Would You Rathers, which is fun. Then we're going to get into some straight real estate talk. We're going to talk about MTRs, the next gold mine in the real estate market, in my opinion. And then we're going to do a little motivation. And then we're going to freaking fist pump and roll out.
Oh, sounds like a great episode.
Awesome. All right. So we're going to talk about parenting, and I'm going to kind of relate it to parenting as you're trying to, like, have a side hustle of real estate. I'm going to put that twist on it. I don't think the outline perfectly calls for that. We're going to talk about some parenting things in general, but I'm going to put the twist on it of being a parent, specifically a father, while you're trying to, like, have businesses and create a side hustle and have that time freedom, but also have, you know, your time spent. That's not going to go in. There's no chance unless Shane or Boehner empties it. So Lucas, what do you say about parenting in 2023 and 2024? Is it challenging?
Yeah, I mean, I think parenting has always been challenging, I assume.
Yes.
You know what I mean? I think there's some newer challenges in today's world, but there's probably some significant challenges back in the day too, like trying to get your child not eaten by a wild animal or something when
that
you're living
would,
in a cave.
That's a big one. Yeah,
that's
I think
a big
so.
One. Yeah,
and then yeah, I think I try to keep that perspective that I talk about a lot. I love that quote that you know, everybody has their perception of their reality, but then there is a perspective that if you can remove yourself from your perception and really see, like, so I really like that. I feel like that's one of my biggest strengths and yours probably as well. But I do think it's a little bit harder these days with, like, the technology and, like, all this crazy shit that happens with people. I mean, I know people got, like, I don't know, parents are overprotective, but, like, literally our generation and slightly before just come back. Imagine, like, letting your 7-year-old son just be like, I'll see you at dark. And, like, just like run around with no cell phone, not other parents have cell phones or kids he's with. So it's just a scarier world. I don't know if that's self-induced or not.
Yeah, I think on that realms, it's definitely harder. But we also have more education and more tools that probably help guide us and make it a little more easier or harder, because we're stressing out how to be a perfect parent all the time, and there's so much pressure, I feel like, from specifically with the moms, but a little bit with the dads as well,
and
too,
because you can see other people on social media how they appear to be perfect
exactly.
parents even though they're not. So yeah. I do think that, like, with AI, with everything, like, the human race adapts, and parenting's probably part of it.
With
so,
AI, how do you think AI is gonna relate to parenting in the next 10 years, Sam?
You'll have an AI parent.
Yeah, right.
What I was saying. I was saying as, like, the world shifts and changes, the human race adapts.
Yes.
Some people think we're, like, AI is going to take over the world in 5 years and human race is going to be gone in 10 years. Like, people think that.
You never know, bro.
Yeah. Okay.
You don't know.
I do. I do. I'm not cocky enough to think that we are at the height of civilization. All right. So, Lucas, so let's get into some specifics. Let's talk about our parenting situation for those that don't know. Then we'll get into specifics. So I have a 1.5-year-old daughter, Eliza, and a 7-year-old daughter, Maisie. So I'm a girl dad, got two girls at the house. What are you rocking with?
Yeah, boy dad, two boys at the house. So I think it'll be interesting to see like if perspectives and methods would change on a boy versus a girl. So I think we should get into that. But yeah, a 7-year-old boy, very similar to you.
Two weeks apart.
And a 2.5-year-old son as well. So about a year apart.
There. Yeah. Yeah,
but no, very similar stages of life.
Very similar.
So
very,
apples to apples.
As far as that
ages
goes. And then eggplants to peaches, body parts.
Body parts.
Yes, yeah. I'm surrounded by vaginas. I got two female dogs and a wife and two daughters. So it's just the only one hanging, swinging.
Yeah, we're just the opposite. We got one on the other side of the
house.
Yeah,
you guys just swinging them out everywhere.
Yeah.
Awesome. Make Shane uncomfortable. I like it. So that's what we're working with. So let's get into some specifics, yeah. Lucas. And I think this is a good one to start with. What you're doing, how are you pushing your son or not pushing your son, especially the 7-year-old that we get into my 7-year-old daughter, Maisie, to do athletics or not sports? Because I know that a lot of parents, especially in our parents' generation, like force their kids to play sports even though the kids didn't like it. It didn't even become fun anymore because the parents were trying to live through their kids with sports. So how are you doing that?
Yeah, I think it's whether it's sports or something else that the parent grew up doing or playing or participating in, something they're super passionate about. You know, I feel like it's very easy to fall in that trap to try to make or push your kid to do the same thing that you did. Mm-hmm. 'Cause you're like, oh, it worked for me.
And
like,
it was fun. And
but man, they're completely different people. Mm-hmm. I see the benefits of the things that I did growing up, you know, mainly athletics and being a part of teams and all the benefits that come with that. I think we did a podcast episode on that. But so I would love for my son to get involved in some of those things, but he could probably learn and grow as an individual, learn some really cool life traits as he grows up and still have fun while doing it in a lot of different types of group activities, right? Mm-hmm. But with my passion being specifically basketball, I would say, but you know, sports in general, he's just around it more. Mm-hmm. You know, I just naturally give that opportunity for him to learn and see my passion for it. And I feel like when you're a kid, you gravitate towards what your parents like doing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what I've seen. So I've pushed a very little so far in the basketball because in anything they want to do, I want them to have some intrinsic passion behind it because mm-hmm. that is when they get excited about it and go learn and get better and take off on their own instead of you trying to force and they freaking hate it and then they have, you know, mental health issues mm-hmm. because they're doing something they don't like their entire childhood.
Yeah.
So, but it is a very fine line, like exposing them to many different things to figure out what they're good at and what they love, versus, pushing them into certain silos.
Yeah. It's tricky for sure because my daughter, Maisie, we've tried several different things. She doesn't like care about it. So it's like, well, do you just let her not do it because she doesn't like it? Or do you force her to do it because you know she may eventually like it and, like, you can't just quit at everything you do,
right?
Right. So she's done cheerleading. She liked it okay. She didn't really want to do the second year, so we didn't do that. She does swimming. She likes it okay, but, like, we have to, like, convince her to go sometimes. Mm-hmm. And, like, you know, you can stop. And then she likes it when she's there. But, yeah, it's that fine line of, like, you don't just want them to do nothing. You want mm-hmm. them to be involved in something.
Yeah.
But how hard do you push and what do you push her to be involved in? And I think horseback riding is going to be Maisie's thing.
Cause that's awesome.
It's because it's just like, you know, you get to take care of an animal. There's like that nurturing side of it mm-hmm. as well as like the fun side of it. And it's different. It's cool. So
yeah, no, I agree with that. And I think every child kind of finds certain passions at different stages of their lives too, right? I feel like when we were raising our kids and our oldest were like, you know, 4, 5, 6, you know, there were kids that showed extreme passions for certain things.
Mm-hmm.
And Drake was very similar to Maisie. Like, just, you know, he just would rather freaking run around with his shirt off and jump off back of couches and wrestle mm-hmm. and stuff like that, which is cool. Like,
and make up rules to sports, which
yeah, he still does that. Yeah, and
like
I just,
it's not the rules.
I it's hard because I know how to play, but I'm like, you know, I want to make it fun.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, make up some rules. Let's figure out a new game here, yeah. Whatever it is. Yeah, we make up sports all the freaking time,
mm-hmm.
but as long as we're playing, I don't care. And like. Action figures, like he freaking loves action figures, and that's,
hell yeah.
That's fun. But
is he selling Pokemon cards?
He's yeah. Nice. He brings two a day, and he instead of trading them, he just like gives them out to his friends.
Yeah, he does. He gives them. There was one there in the office one time. There was like 30 Pokemon cards like all over the office.
No, oh yeah, on the ground. Yeah. But there was probably hundreds.
Yeah, but they were
trading
on the stairs. He was like if somebody's like Easter eggs, they can have them if they find them.
Phil's son was here, and Phil was like trying to teach him the rules. Like, don't do that trade. Don't do that trade. I'm like, Phil, they don't care.
Yeah, he's like, you're getting screwed on that trade.
Yeah, they're like, if it looks cool, they'll take it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But so yeah, make up some rules, have some fun, and I think that spawns creativity, which I think is a really cool, not just a personality trait. I think it's a skill that you can learn as well as you grow up.
Yeah, for sure. And I think there's that line, and you know, my dad. I almost feel like. My dad was lean more towards what we do. He did sometimes I wish he would have pushed more
because
he didn't push at all. And I think your dad wasn't like one of those people that was like living through you, but he pushed you a little mm-hmm. bit more to do things. And there's probably that line that you were like happy with it and then not, but like,
well, I see why he did it.
Well, yeah, but I didn't I never like did any like camps or trainings or anything. Yeah. Right. It was just all just go playing outside. So like,
yeah,
like those type of things would have, I think benefited me maybe, but
as far as your skill level,
yeah. So that's what I meant, and maybe enjoyed more. So we played sports together. You know, we were usually some of the better on the team, but mine was just completely just go out there and do it.
Yeah,
very raw as you saw playing.
Yeah,
with me.
I think like for an example, my dad really wanted me to swim.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that he loved swimming; he just knew it would be good for me mm-hmm. to get out there and push myself, and good for my body as mm-hmm. well. So he would he incentivized me. Monetarily or by like toys or gifts,
Pokemon cards.
Yeah, I know it was like a go kart or something.
There you go.
Bike. Yeah. So he's like, if you do this, I'll do that. And that was as I got a little older. Like I didn't love it mm-hmm. at all. Like I would go to a YMCA, and I would see everybody playing basketball, and I would have to go swimming.
He's like, go swim while he goes up there.
But looking back on, I really understand. You know why he did it.
Well, yeah,
it definitely benefited me in the long run. So, gosh, definitely a fine line there, man. Mm-hmm. And the other thing I don't want to just like be completely hands off and not try to guide a little bit is, you know, they might get to 13, 14 years old and be like, oh my gosh, I love this, I love that. Mm-hmm. But then you only get a couple years out of it, a few years out of it, and then you got to go be an adult. what I mean?
And honestly, because you don't have to be the best at everything, but right. like if they really like, if Maisie starts to like basketball at 13,
yeah,
that's fine. But if she didn't like it now, but she's gonna be way behind the right. girls that have been playing, and
for sure.
And she doesn't have to be the best, but
which
she's
makes
gonna,
it more challenging for them to get integrated.
Yeah,
with
and
the
they're gonna enjoy
stuff.
It more if you don't have to be the best, but if you're like at least competent or decent at something, you're going to get more
for
playing
sure.
time, and you're gonna enjoy it more
for sure.
Cool, I like it. So what do you so I don't think there's an answer to that one. It's just kind of feeling out your kid, feeling out the situation, and I think the line is just like making sure they know that they have to like try at something. Just because it's hard doesn't mean they can quit, but if they put in a valiant effort and they don't like it, then I think I'm not going to push her to continue to do something she hates.
And figuring out where that specific transition line is for your kid to be a toddler and then transition into something that they love.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, you know, it might be a little earlier for some kids, it might be a little later, and just trying to navigate that and just kind of let it happen by, but make sure you're still exposing and guiding instead of pushing and forcing.
There you go. Luke rounded that one out good. Remember this, Lucas?
Yeah. What does that say?
That one podcast where Lucas and I both had the freaking sheet in front of our faces for like a minute. Okay, so how do you try to spend time with your kids? I think this is a good one. I've seen this a few different times. Millennial dads spend an average of 3 times more with their kids than their parents did with them.
A few boomers. No, I'm just
joking. I got into I don't think you heard that. I got into a big old Instagram battle with somebody about boomers and how they're like not
big
like,
old Instagram battle.
Not the, well, yeah, it was like we were gonna set up a boxing match.
Are you?
No, I'm kidding.
Well, I'll say, well, then it would actually be kind
of
cool.
No, it's not cool. Not that cool. But anyways, my whole thought of like, you know, anyways, we have our thoughts on millennials and boomers. Everybody, if they've listened to some podcasts, they know our thoughts on that. But
yeah, I'll throw down on that too.
Yeah.
I love that topic.
Yeah, for sure. Because yeah, the boomers are.
And that's a pretty cool stat. That alone
tells you
we're doing something right.
Correct. Yeah. Exactly. So that being said, how do you set a time aside? Set a time aside. That was not the best way to say it. How do you set time aside to be able to have 3 7-figure businesses as well as spend time with your spouse as well as spend time with your kiddos and also be able to do stuff? How do you do that? How do you prioritize all that and spend time with your little shitheads?
Yeah. What, and again, every kid's different, but what I've come to realize is my kids and family in general don't need like elaborate things to go do to be able to enjoy spending time together. So I just try to keep it super simple. Like what they're going to remember to me are, yeah, they'll remember some trips here and there, but just what's going to stick with them throughout their entire life is my dad was there to tuck me into bed.
Mm-hmm.
My dad was there to read that book with me or be available to wrestle when I want to wrestle. And I just try to be as present as possible. And to be able to do that, you know, we have to have things working well here.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like if things are crazy chaotic and we're not systemized here, then turning that off when we go home is just makes it that much harder.
Mm-hmm.
So we get to a point where we kind of button up the end of the day, we go home and we can transition all our effort, focus, and energy towards our family from that 5:30 to 8:30 time frame. And when I'm there, I'm all in. And we got an awesome routine. Go home, relax a little bit, eat dinner, go play, baths, books, bed every night. And I freaking love that. It's like my favorite part of the day. So I just try to take those small moments and really maximize those. And you know, the big stuff I don't care about too much. Yeah, we go on vacations here and there, but to me, that's not what matters. It's those everyday experiences.
Yeah, and just setting aside that time and being present when you're there is a tricky thing. But it's tough because there are times and moments when doing what we're doing does preoccupy your time or your mind a little bit. But in general, the biggest thing for me is just, you know, when you're there, have intentionality with that time and then have presence with that time, I think is a big part of it.
Yeah. Last night was one of them for me where I didn't get home at my normal time. And I talked to Ash. I was like, I just need a couple hours tonight. I got to wrap up some stuff. So I didn't leave the office till like 7.
That's a couple nights in a row. We didn't leave the office till like 6 the night before. We were walking around the office looking at the,
well, thanks for throwing that out there, Sam.
Saying.
But in general, 7 is like way late for me.
Yeah.
And, normally pretty much right at 5. But what I'm saying is, like, I had to do that to be able to clear my mind and focus whenever, like, for this morning and for a little bit of last night that I got. So those things happen, especially when you have a real estate side hustle,
mm-hmm.
or have multiple businesses like we do here. So, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like some people use their, like, side hustle as an excuse to maybe not be the best mother or father, or they use that as a crutch, because I another like saying that sticks with me a little bit is there, I've seen it said several times that if, or nobody's going to remember you working late in 20 years except
yep.
your kids.
Yep.
Your spouse probably won't, your workers won't, like nobody remember you won't, but your kids will. So I think that's a big one.
And out of a book, Top 5 Regrets of the Dying, it's one of the top 5 regrets of all people is they worked too much and didn't spend enough time with their family.
Yep,
So, and you're on your deathbed. Do you want that to be your last thought?
Not like, I wish I made another $1 million.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it's tricky, though, because it's one of those things where most people are not like superman or superwoman. You do have to, in order, if you want to get to that level financially, some things do have to be sacrificed.
And yeah.
For me, it's like, the like fun activities or golfing, mm-hmm. or whatever is what I sacrifice right now. I try not to sacrifice the family to grow the business, or the business to grow, to be there with the family.
And I feel like we, you know, got lucky. I don't know if it's luck or not, but just we started our businesses, most of them, before we had kids.
Yep.
Before we were married, mm-hmm. even, or I was, you were married, but
I got locked down, Walls.
You got locked down quick.
Mm-hmm.
Locked down there. All right. But anyways, So we got lucky there. I think, you know, starting businesses from the ground up at the age my kids are now would be very, 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 very challenging. And, you know, you get 18 summers with your kids. That's it. Mm-hmm. 18.
And about
that's it.
About eight they remember, too.
And 11 of them, or 7 of them are already gone. So I got 11 left.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, I guess what I'm getting at is those 18, you know, I'd rather be a little heavily weighted towards the family. And then, you know, I'm going to be probably my prime working years where they're off at college.
Mm-hmm.
So I can really get some shit done then, I feel like. But I think I can balance now as well. We can have it all.
We can have it all. Your cake and icing and sprinkles. And ice cream on top of the
whipped cream, cherry, all the good stuff.
Would that have fun, that whipped cream. So some advice for people, in my opinion, that are wanting to start the side hustle, and I'm not going to turn this into a pitch fest, but it is getting somebody that's already done it to show you the grooved path. Like I say this all the time, that's like the purpose of our community is people have limited spare time. People don't want to spend 20 hours a week growing a side hustle, but then they also want that financial freedom and that choice to make more money. So the best way to have it all, in my opinion, looking back from where we started, Lucas, is to have somebody show you the rope so you're being more efficient. So that 5 hours a week you carve out to work on your side hustle, you're not like throwing shit against the wall and seeing what sticks. You're actually taking focused and efficient effort to move the needle because somebody is showing you which effort things to do and which to not do. So anyways, that's the biggest thing for me is if you want to do this, if you want to have it all, rather than being crazy and efficient and not ever starting or completely, you know, taking 6 years to buy your first rental property, get around other people, probably should pay for somebody to teach you the ropes, and then you'll get there so much faster with less headache, and you pay for the knowledge either way, Lucas. You either pay for it via lack of starting, losing money on deals, or you pay for it to pay somebody to show you the path. So you're paying for it anyway. I would take the easiest path, which is paying for it to learn.
Work smarter, not harder, Sam. Let's go to this other question. I want to make sure we get to this. Do you think physical punishment to your children is necessary, or good, or bad, or what's your thought?
No,
on
we're
that?
we're big no spankers here at the Prim household. So no spanking. I think it's different. I don't know if I had a little son, maybe I'd swat his ass as if he did something. But no, not to the girls. No, I don't know if that's good or bad. But we're not the spanking parents. That's not what we believe in. I do know parents that do it, and I'm not going to name any names. I do know parents that do it, and their kids beat the shit out of each other in not a good way. Like they see that they get hit, so they think that hitting others is a solution. And usually the more they get hit, the less it affects them, so the harder you have to hit. It just starts this cycle of physical, I'm not going to say abuse in the future, like domestic type things, but it starts the like, hey, my parents hit me, so I'm going to hit this person. And that's usually not the solution, is hitting people, as you know from your bar fights.
Yeah, not the solution. Yeah, we're the same thing. Yeah, no hitting here. I think I, like, the most I ever did is, like, pick my son up, like, one-handed or something, and, like, threw him on the bed or something like that.
The most I ever did was I grabbed him by the throat, and I threw him up against the wall.
His body.
And I took a belt out with the buckle, and I hit him across the chin.
No. But, I mean, I would say, like, our generation, like, probably the majority, you know, of our parents did some sort of, you know, physical punishment.
Mm-hmm.
So we grow up, like, in the people now, it's like two different buckets. Like, you either thought it benefited you, like, you know, look how I turned out. I turned out great. Like, this is what my parents did, so I'm going to do it.
And the spanking is the reason.
And the spanking is the reason. Or you're like, hey, I didn't like that as a kid. That was a detriment to our relationship with our parents, not a benefit.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to continue that cycle, or whatever you want to call it. So
yeah, I would say most of the people I know lean towards the non physical correction. Would you agree?
I think so. You know, I don't really know. It's not something I ask or talk about.
I guess,
but
yeah.
I mean, I know you, so yeah, you don't. So
I don't.
There's some stats up there, but I want to get back to one thing you said, Sam, is that you were talking about if you had a son, you might. So you do think there's a difference?
I do, maybe. I don't know. And I see it with, like, other people, like, are just, like, so, like, some other people that I know, like grandparents, or like they just seem to be a little bit softer on girls than boys in general.
But yeah, maybe not. And maybe softer is the right word, but I don't think hitting is beneficial.
I don't think
for
I was kidding. I would never
I feel like
actually.
My son is more sensitive than most women or little girls. So I look at it the same, man. I don't think it should matter to me. It wouldn't matter to me, obviously.
Well, you don't have any girls. You don't know that.
Well, so you think I'd do the physical punch on the girls?
Maybe.
Instead of the boy?
Maybe.
No way.
No, yeah, I don't think, and I was a little tongue-in-cheek with that, but yeah, I just...
But you don't know either.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Yeah.
So. I mean, I do know that I would not be like whipping them in the butt with a belt,
right?
No matter what they, a boy or
but
girl,
maybe
would
a
not
little
be
rougher, whatever
maybe.
That looks like.
I don't know. I'm pretty like playful, rough with the girls. It's fun. They yeah. like it. Yeah. So it's fun. Cool. What else are we going to get into? We talk a little bit.
Maybe the technology side.
And yeah, like, we could talk
like,
about
like
that.
Screens or cell phone or whatever you want to talk about.
That. Yeah. So like cell phones and screens and technology does make it more difficult. I had this chat with my boy T. York. He said, like, we're the generation where we understand technology. Like, our parents and, like, his parents, they didn't get it at all. They would try to, like, block something, and you could just go right around as far as, like, parental, like, guidance or, like, screen time or whatever mm-hmm. because they didn't understand technology. We're kind of the first generation of parents that understands technology enough that we can put, like, parameters on screen time and, like, shut something down or put, you know, parental guidance on certain things or, you know, have the YouTube Kids as an option. That wasn't an option forever, those type of things. So I do think technology is helpful in a lot of ways, and I think it's potentially harmful in a lot of ways. I know that I've seen the studies of kids addicted to video games and addicted to screens. It's the brain and the chemicals perceive it the same as like being addicted to a drug. Like mm-hmm. the brain can't tell the difference in, I'm going to overstate here, in heroin versus like being addicted to a screen. So there is some downsides to it, but in general, I think technology has a lot of positives too.
Yeah. If you use it the right way, I think it's probably what makes parenting right now one of the most challenging things, I think. There's so many screens out there, and we have them, like, but you got to understand there's a time and a place for them, mm-hmm. for sure, and to limit it, and you don't have to be the one that limits it, because it has technology within the technology to help you do that. And yeah, we were talking about it in the office about how my 7-year-old and I's little system is, hey, if you want some screen time, we got to go put in some work.
Okay.
And whatever that work looks like for us, it's just body movement. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure if it's the exact same with girls or boys. I only have boys, but I know they need body movement. If he sits on a screen for an hour and doesn't get the appropriate amount of sensory exposure and body movement, like, he'll come off that screen and just be a nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
Nightmare. So we go do some body movement, whether it's just wrestling or running around or even just box jumps, just like run, just go do circles
do
around the cul-de-sac, like, then I'll even like play with them a little bit too. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like a little bonding thing as well.
No, yeah, I think that's good. That you can definitely overdo the screen time, and you see it in kids, and it's usually a behavioral thing. A lot of people's behaviors and actions are from their parenting, and if like a parent's not, either they don't care or they're not present and they allow their kids to be on the phone all the time, those tend, or on like a computer or a screen or whatever, or iPad, those tend to be the kids that do have behavioral issues, just because that's you get deregulated, like you said. Maisie's does it sometimes. We're like, this is how you act when we give you, you know, this is not how you act, and this is because you were on the screen mm-hmm. too long. So
yeah.
we're going to
leave
your screen
time now.
We've all
done
it too
long.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. we're definitely not perfect.
Yeah, for sure.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Just try to manage it and work with what we got.
So in general, just try to do the right things and be there for your kids, and you'll be fine. Just,
yep.
I think the biggest thing I would take away from this is presence and being there, and the volume of presence, and just being around your kids as much as possible and showing up for them. You'll say dumb shit. You'll give them too much screen time. You'll, you know, overpromise something. You'll miss a bedtime here or there. But if you're there as much as you can, it'll just be fine. That's all the kids want, is they just want their parents there. That's all they care about.
Just want you. Just want you to listen and
mm-hmm.
make you proud.
Yep.
It's crazy.
That's all they want.
It's crazy, the love that they have. It reminds me of like a puppy. And not a puppy, like a dog
mm-hmm.
in general. Well, at least the stage that my kid's at, like, just unconditional love.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And maybe it won't be unconditional at some point, but I don't want to fuck that up.
Well, it'll have its ups and downs, but that's just the thing that makes me, I think in general the world's a pretty good place, but it's just these kids come out, they don't have any prejudice, they don't dislike any other color, race, anything.
Pure love.
And then the world fucks them up. Like, all the crazy people.
Or parents.
The world, that's part of it. Like, all these kids and all these adults, young adults that are hating on other people for whatever reason. It all stems from, they weren't born with any hate. You're born with zero hate. That's wild. And there's a lot of hateful people in the world.
Yeah.
It's fucked up.
Yep.
Cool. All right, Lucas.
Yes.
Hard left. You ready to be riddled?
Yep.
All right. Introduce a segment where Sam will try to stump Lucas with riddles. That was a joke. If you're watching on YouTube, pause in the video and comment with the answer. I have 13 hearts, but no lungs or stomach. What am I?
Yeah, so when I think of hearts, you know, I think of, like, obviously, like, live animals with beating hearts, and I think of artichokes for some reason. The thing that I know has multiple hearts, I don't know if it's 13 or not, is an octopus.
Okay.
And I don't know if they have lungs or not, so I'm going to say octopus.
A deck of cards.
A deck of cards. Gosh damn it.
I thought you'd for sure get that one.
Oh, did you?
You're so stupid. You're an idiot.
That's not very kind words to use, Mr. Prim. I've got my parenting.
Oh, sorry, Dad.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
Oh, man, I should have got that one. You're right.
I was surprised.
I think an octopus has 8 hearts.
A heart for each arm. So I don't think I'm very liberal on giving you these. I think because of the 13 hearts, I don't think you can get that one, but you were close. Artichokes was an interesting one.
Yeah.
I'm easy to lift but hard to throw. What am I?
Yeah, I was thinking something like, and maybe I'm the complete wrong direction here, but something like super light, like a feather or a leaf or a Kleenex.
The answer is feather.
Okay, good.
You got that one for sure. And I was thinking you were going to say Kleenex. Because Kleenex, I would take Kleenex because that is...
Yeah, same type
of crumble it up,
thing.
But still. Yeah, feathers, there's no really way. Like, crumble up a Kleenex and throw it, but, like, you can't with a feather. That's
just like an eagle, and you can, like, javelin that
sometimes. If it's big enough, yeah. Like, if you could, like, weight the end a little bit.
Yeah.
Big old feather.
Yeah.
All right, so you're 1-2.
1-2. I'm going to get this next one.
No, this is going to be your half
one.
I
saw it. I didn't see the answer, but I saw the question earlier.
A butcher stands 6 feet and 1 inches tall and wears a size 12 shoe. What does he weigh?
That's about like you, Sam, right? 6'1", size 12?
Oh, yeah, exactly. If I'm 6'1", you're 5'9".
Nah, bro.
A butcher stands... I don't even get this one. Hold on.
The answer is meat.
A butcher stands 6 feet tall and 1 inch and wears a 12 shoes. What does he weigh? Oh, he weighs meat. I get it.
What's the answer? Is it not meat?
It's meat.
Okay. I was like, gosh.
You got 2 out of 3.
Yeah.
That's good.
Thanks, man.
Well, it doesn't count. You can't prep for these. I haven't seen the true and falses.
You've seen number one.
Yeah, it's true. And it's true also. Yeah. All right. Let's go.
All right. Jumping right into the true false. We thought we did this one before.
A segment where Lucas will try to stump Sam.
Yep. You got that right, Sam. So, true or false. Blue eyes are newer to the human race than pottery.
This is wild, but this is true. I've seen the stat somewhere.
Wow.
That is wild, though.
That's true. A 2008 study traced the gene for blue eyes to a person who lived 10,000 years ago.
There's no way.
That'd be hard to trace.
Yeah.
Some of the world's oldest pottery pieces date back to 20,000 years ago, so double.
Yeah, we should do a whole episode on like the pyramids and like human history and stuff, but like, yeah, there's got to be someone back in the day with blue eyes, but I will take the win.
All right. True. You were correct. All right. Number two, matches were invented before lighters.
I'm going to say false.
Yeah. Just because it's
yeah,
it is false. You would think.
Yeah.
It would be matches first for sure. Right. So it's false. The first push-button lighter, looks German, the Doberiner lamp, was invented in 1824. The practical fiction matches, similar to what we use today, were invented in 1827. So 3 years apart, pretty close.
So they were close. Yeah. So that makes it a little more sense. It's not like it was like way off, but yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure probably not the lighter that we... Well, look that thing up.
It's probably not the lighter or the matches we use today.
Doberiner lamp.
It's probably not, Lucas.
Not like
when we have our screen, that's going to be sick. We're going to be looking up behind us.
Oh, that will be sick. What's that coming?
We're going to be super interactive. We don't know. There's about five starting to creep into T-Rex's mind that we got scammed, but I don't think we did.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That makes sense. Look at that.
So it's not. So that's technically a lighter, but it's not an actual lighter.
Check out Doberiner lamp if you're listening to this.
I bet if you had that, it would be worth freaking $1 million.
Imagine lighting a stogie with that thing. How good you'd feel about yourself. That's a celebration, my friend.
Lighting a stogie or something else.
Ooh,
get him to York. All right.
Campfire.
Shaner Boehner and T-York got shout outs today. Everybody's like, who the fuck are those people? All right, I'm 2 for 2. Bro, I'm going to go. This will be the first 100%. I guarantee I'm going to get this one right. I haven't even read it yet.
No way.
I got a 50-50 shot, bro.
The world's population has tripled in the last 50 years.
The world's population has tripled. And so
you have a 0% chance to get this right.
It's 8 billion. So 50 years ago, we're saying it was like 2.5 billion, 2.6 billion. 50 years ago. It is tripled. That's true.
That's false.
Fuck!
The world's population has actually doubled. We're closer to...
Oh, that's like a... It should be like a complete... Not like a little twist, but whatever. I guess that's how the riddles are.
That's how they are,
doubled,
man.
Not tripled.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. Would you rather? Good job. Both 2 out of 3.
That's that a boy.
But yours are true and false, so you have a 50% chance going into it.
But you also have like... You also can, or you have a lot of options that for your answers. I only have one answer.
That's true.
There you go.
That's false.
Stop it.
All right. Would you rather? You want to do the first one?
You can. I always do the first one.
All right. Would you rather lose all your money you've earned this year or lose all the memories you've gained this year?
That's easy. Lose the money.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? I don't think it's easy.
We can make the money back.
We can make it back, but I mean,
can't make
like,
the memories back. I mean, you can't really.
I mean, if you had to write a
big check
right now,
I mean, if
we'd
I
figure
like,
it out.
If I lost my house like that, like I, so, if I like lost everything, yeah, that'd be different. But if like
you had to come up with
like
the money
my,
to pay it back,
yeah, or,
we could do that.
Yeah, we could figure it out.
Yeah,
that was a tricky one, though.
That is tricky.
What about you?
I mean, money for sure. Like the memories with our kids these age and just. Yeah, we've had a lot of good ones this year, man.
For sure. Yeah. All right. Would you rather, Walls, give up cursing forever or give up ice cream for 10 years?
Ice cream for 10 years, for sure.
I'd rather give up cursing.
Forever?
I don't curse that much. We do a little
bit
on
here.
Are
you a big ice cream guy?
I mean, I enjoy it, yeah.
Yeah. I could give up ice cream, no problem.
Yeah, I like
ice cream. It's only for 10 years.
I mean, so I like...
When I'm 45, I start smashing it again.
No, you don't even need
ice cream
now.
Sandwich.
You don't smash anything. Yeah. So I... Yeah, I mean, I don't like cuss that much.
You've said fuck like 7 times on this episode.
But if I didn't say fuck 7 times, it'd be fine.
Yeah, it'd probably be more impactful. So yeah. Stop cursing so much.
Well, that yeah, so Gary Vee curses a lot, but most people with big brands don't. He's like he so it was hilarious. So somebody like did a like you know how he's all about compassion and like the people that are mean to him. Somebody like wrote like a like comment like I don't get this guy or like something like really mean. And his like response was like I get it. I'm a lot. He's like I cuss. He's like I have a lot of energy. I'm not for everybody. And I really hope this person finds somebody that like they can understand. And like he was legitimately was like I'm sorry. No big deal. I hope you find somebody. Like I usually respond with like. Compassion, but there's like a sarcastic little like hint to it where I poke him a little bit with the response. Yeah. He doesn't. He's legitimately like, I'm sorry you feel that way. That's tough to get to that point.
It is. He's a G. I think there's a time and place for cursing. I think there's it can be overused for sure, but I think it could also add impact to certain situations as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm gonna give up.
Can I say freak instead of fuck?
Correct. Is freak a curse word?
Maisie thinks it is. She was so mad the other day, and she kept saying freaking, and she like thought that it was the coolest thing ever.
We were reading at the bus stop today, and he was sounding out. I forget what word, but it started with sh, and he was like, oh, I almost said shit.
Like he just said it. That's funny.
Yeah.
I do cuss in front of the kids a little bit, but they don't cut that Maisie.
Yeah, I try to limit it for sure in front of the kiddos.
All right, last one.
Last one. Would you rather... be reborn into the past at any point, I would assume, or into the future at any point?
I don't know. I mean, I'm probably going to say future, but I've thought about this. Like, I like the hectic lifestyle and technology, but, man, think about, like, back in, like, the day when, like, there was, like, it was just... I'm sure there were stressful things, but, like, it just... You don't have TV. You just, like, are at your house, like, lighting your candles and, like, hanging out and, like, reading. Like, you're just, like, there's nothing
how far back you go with?
I was going, like, 1800s, 1700s.
Okay.
Like, That'd be cool. Like, yeah. Like the like
shorter lifespan, probably.
Yeah, probably
die of like smallpox.
Yeah. So there's that. So anyways, the like the
in the future you could maybe it'll live forever.
Well, maybe. Well, it depends how far I go in the future. But the slowness of like older lifestyle is appealing to me. Yeah. Even though I know they had their things, but I would probably pick the future. I just was trying to throw you off there.
Yeah.
Make you feel
Man,
so
I don't know what I'd pick. That's a good one. You know, I like my life right now mm-hmm. a lot. Mm-hmm. It's been fun. It's a good ride.
And I'm assuming you're reborn, so it's not like you have your like. It's not like you have your current like knowledge.
Okay, so it's like restarting everything.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, wow, that is a tough one. Probably future.
Mm-hmm.
Probably future.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so. That'd be a tricky one. That was a good one.
Yeah, it was good.
All right, that's good. All right, so a new segment, Lucas. We're going to talk. So the reason we're doing this, I'll just lay it out there. So I push people all the time from our short form content to our long form content, and they want to learn real estate. Like they're not they somebody that watches a short form video, they want to know more about real estate.
Mm.
They have trouble finding that now because I don't do like right. talking head videos on YouTube. There's no like teaching. This is fun. We do this. People get to know us a little bit here, but as far as learning things about real estate, and we're going to probably come up with a solution, but there's no like place I can send people. We can send them to the Faster Freedom YouTube channel that has tens of thousands of hours of, but it's old. It's last 3 years. So anyways, that's why we're doing
still
this.
Still good content though.
It's great content, but I do think it's fun to keep up with the current real estate
for
stuff.
Sure.
And that is a perfect parlay into midterm rentals. They're a thing, and I don't think they're going away. We have a midterm rental program coming out probably within a few days of when this episode is released. It's like 95 videos. It's the best midterm rental program out there. There's nothing else like it. Me and my marketing guy, Andrew, bought a few of the courses. They're like 8 videos, or they're horrible. So it's going to be the most comprehensive midterm course out there. And midterm rentals, like we've ran some numbers, and Kiki has some examples. You go, Kiki had a deal, Lucas, and then we'll break out midterm rentals are a 2-1 in South City that he bought that negatively cash flowed like $185 as a long-term rental.
Mm-hmm.
He's put a little bit extra money and all that thing to do the midterm rental thing, the furniture, but it positively cash flows $700 a month now.
Yes.
Yeah, like, so you go from not a deal to a deal, and that's averaged throughout the year with mm-hmm. like the vacancies and management, everything. So he went from not getting a deal and not getting the ride of real estate to tripling the cash flow of a long-term rental, even in a good market. So I think midterm rentals are not going anywhere. The supply and demand is way off still, and it will be for a while. So I get your take on midterm rentals, but I think it's a huge, huge opportunity if you do it right to continue to buy real estate in a high interest rate environment, which I think is not going away anytime soon.
Yeah. So to kind of explain midterm rentals a little bit, I might just tell kind of our journey and our transition into short term and then midterm mm-hmm. real quick. So short term rentals. So those are, what would you consider a short term rental? More of like a vacation type rental.
Yes, that's how I look
but
at
it doesn't have to necessarily be in vacation destinations, just shorter stays.
Correct.
You know, not a year or 2 year lease like your long term rental. It's usually like, you know, a minimum of 2 nights.
It's usually like
2 to 7 nights.
Nightly and weekly is what I would put as short term.
Yes. There you go. So, you know, short term rentals kind of were a big thing for a while. They're still big. And I would say we missed the wave on that a little bit, right? When they really started popping off with Airbnb and VRBO and being able to be your own host and and then as a consumer, to not stay at hotels, and you could go stay in cool houses and mm-hmm. cool, unique places. So that was a really cool thing that happened in real estate. I think that doesn't get enough credit, because that's so much fun to stay at a house with a pool than staying at the freaking Marriott
mm-hmm.
Or Motel 6 or wherever you stay.
And for sometimes, depending on the location, it's comparable price. Yeah, I mean, midterms are cheaper than hotels, and you got a whole freaking house.
Yeah. Yeah, so we wanted to get into it. So we have an apartment building in a cool part of town that we decided to convert some 2 of the units in the apartment to short-term rentals, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you furnish it, you decorate the whole place, make it look really cool, take nice pictures, and then we liked it. We started making some money. It was cool. You know, people come to St. Louis for, you would think, not a whole bunch of things, but like for baseball games, for, you know, relay races, for art festivals, for a whole bunch of stuff, mm-hmm. right? Relay races. I mean, like, I don't even know what I meant
you
there.
Mean marathons?
Yeah, marathons and stuff.
Doing passing the baton on Washington Ave.
Right. So pretty cool, and it's worked for us. We've seen a lot of operational challenges with kind of like the in and out and in and out and in and out. You have to nail every move out. You have to, every week, you have something to get right. You know, you have to make repairs. You have to do the cleaning. You have to set the entry and exit up perfectly for your next guest. And there's just a lot of moving pieces that can go wrong. The other maybe downside, I would say, to short-term rentals is, you know, it's people traveling with extra income that they have,
mm-hmm.
disposable income. And, you know, during tough times, you know, that's definitely going to drop, mm-hmm. that amount of travel. Whereas, you know, you still got to live someplace long term.
The long term route, yeah.
And then we'll talk about midterms here too. That's not going to change much.
Best of both worlds.
Yeah. So we transitioned, we shifted a little bit, and we wanted to keep doing the short term thing, so we can maximize the income in our apartment building. So we went to a different apartment building that we own and decided to do a midterm rental in, mm-hmm. that. So the cool thing was, we already had like the list of materials for the furniture, the decor. So we did that same thing at the supplies. And so we were able to decorate like a 2-bedroom place and furnish it for like, man, we can do it really good now for like $5,500, mm-hmm. both. So we knocked that out, and we're interested in midterms, right, Sam? Because probably not as affected by the economy.
Nope.
You know, we are demographic. We're looking for people who are displaced from their homes by large insurance claims. You know, some sort of natural disaster like a fire or a tornado, mm-hmm. Like your in-laws got displaced for 18 months.
18 months. They did. 18 yeah, I think months. They did 3 6-month leases because they didn't know.
Yeah.
And that's midterm all day.
18 months. And all their stuff's
paid,
gone.
And the insurance,
so where
paid
do they live?
Way more than market rate.
They need a place that's furnished, mm-hmm. right? And they need to stay in there longer than nightly or weekly.
Mm-hmm.
And they need a number that makes sense for them and the insurance company. And, you know, for them to fix their house, to move back in, that whole process, that rehab.
With insurance.
That insurance claim. It's a freaking nightmare.
It was insanely. Yeah, it took 3 times longer than it should have.
Yes. Well, I don't know. I bet that's pretty damn standard for
standard. I said should have. I mean, the freaking thing didn't get touched for 4 months.
Yeah. Oh,
it's like,
yeah.
Like, what are you just sitting there with a tarp on the roof? Like, you should be doing things.
So there's a lot of people like that looking for, that need a place to live for them and their family for longer than weekly or nightly, but maybe they don't want to sign a year or 2 year lease because they're not exactly sure when it's all going to happen. So that's one, our number one demographic, and maybe not number one, but up there. And then the other one who we're looking for is traveling professionals.
Yep. So there are, before I dug in, Lucas, I didn't like how much people really need this 30,
right.
60, 90 day. And there is so freaking many. You go to Furnish Finders, obviously get the course when you come out with it, but you go to Furnish Finders and you can see like how many people search in an area versus how much is available. And it is like insane.
Mm-hmm.
And not everybody that searches needs something right now, but it's like 100 to 1 or something. It's insane. And the main people that use midterm rentals are traveling nurses. There's a huge like industry out there that the nurses like to travel. They get paid more to do it. They go through these agencies that help place them. But traveling nurses, insurance displacements, corporate leases, people that come that, you know, need to live somewhere in a nice place while their house is getting built or they're moving. A lot of construction projects, people live in them. And then digital nomads, which is a new thing. There's a lot of people that want to just live in a different city every 3 months and they can work from home. So
cool.
It is a huge industry. I would say 50% of it's traveling nurses, but there are other stuff.
Okay.
There are other stuff in there too. So traveling nurses is the thing to do for sure there. And a couple other benefits of midterms to give you some insight on the course is midterm rentals, Lucas, the tenants are like the best case scenario, because short term you're there for a few days, you're not there for a long time, you're there for a good time.
And you can't really screen,
kind of like my mustache, you can't really screen. And they live in it hard. They party, they have fun, or they have families and they overpack it, too many people are staying. It's fine, but it's a lot of maintenance. In the long term, usually good people you can screen them, but they live there all day, every day for a year. Stuff gets messed up. These midterm,
they go to work, they come back, they go to sleep.
Yeah, especially the traveling nurses. Yeah, and then they like want to take care of it, and like especially if you have like an animal, or you, like we allow pets, or and then you like fence in. So it's the tenant base is really, really good. They take care of the property. They're not there that much, and then they pay literally 2 to 3 times as much per rent. So anyways, midterm, and then they stay for 30, 60, 90 days. So you have 4 move-outs a year, and you plan ahead, and you can lease it ahead of time, know when they're leaving, and you can get, you know, 300 every 365 days rented, and you're just getting double the rent. It's if you do it right and set the systems a little more upfront, but it is insane how much money you can make, and we're not even close to meeting the demand right now.
Yeah,
supply.
I agree. I feel in like every this market. Is like short-term rentals in 2017.
And last thing, well, as it gets over, like Dallas, you can't do short-term rentals in 30 days or more. Guess what? Standard midterm lease is 30 to 90 days. So you can get around all of these places that don't allow short-term rentals. Mm-hmm. Almost every single one is 30-day. That's how they get around it. And midterm gets around that.
Yeah. And the like I was saying, it's like Airbnb in 2016, 2017.
Yep. Probably earlier, but
That's where we are right now. Whereas Furnish Finder's cool, but it's nothing compared to what it could be.
And
what it will be. And like, yeah, so I think we're just scratching the surface there, and I'm excited to be able to get into that, kind of when we did versus missing the boat a little bit on the short-term rentals.
I agree, and we have a whole course about it now, and then we're going to continue, obviously, digging further. Yeah. And most of the people teaching the courses now have like 4 or 5 of them, and our boy Kiki's got 11, so he's helped us a lot with the course. So, yeah.
Yeah, he's stud.
Yeah, cool. All right, motivate. Motivate him, Walls.
This is a section I always forget. I'm sorry. Motivate. Oh, geez. Like coming out into the year, right? Yep. Like we're recording this on the very first day of December. Probably come out.
2 weeks, probably.
2 weeks. So you have a lot less time to wrap up the year. But I feel like a lot of time people get into the holidays, kind of slow down, which is cool, right? But man, I think it's a great time to push and finish strong and set yourself up great for the next year. And I love this time of year because I feel like a lot of the competition is taking time off while we're driving hard. And then,
We used to buy quite a few houses when it was just like me and you with our full-time jobs, a side hustle, 14 to 18 time frame-ish. We used to buy several houses in November, December.
Cause that's a great point. Like real estate in general, wasn't there as exactly. Much. Yeah, it's a good if you're going to look at for a personal house, it's a great time to buy a house right now and investment properties as well.
It's a great time to buy a house because the numbers bear it out. You're going to get it for the exact same house for 5% to 10%, 5% less than you could 6 months earlier. Just with the summer and every single summer winter, it's a wave. You can see it in the data. So you get the same house for less, and then also it's a great time to buy a flip, bro. 3-4 month flip. You put it on the market in March, April, May. Kind of, it's a perfect time.
Probably same thing for a rental.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
You get it under contract in December, close on January, rehab it for a month or two,
and then
list your rental for rent at the hot spring.
Time. Yeah, No, it's a really good time to invest, and I would tell a lot of people to, don't wait for spring to start. That's when everybody's doing it. Why would you try to do the same thing everybody's doing?
Competition heats up.
And then just don't wait in general. You're never going to time the market perfect. It's never going to be a perfect scenario where interest rates are low, supply is low, competition is low, there's a ton of upside. That never happens. If you're going to wait for that, you're going to be waiting with your thumb up your butt until you're 65.
Dude, I thought that was a great impromptu motivation Monday.
I agree. So get in the damn game. Don't try to time the market. Get time in the market. Nobody makes their huge money when everybody else is making huge money. It's when other people aren't doing it is when you need to get in. So go out there, figure out how to invest now, and don't wait and try to time the market, because I've seen so many people say this smarter than us, and I think it's true. We say the same thing, though. I think interest rates are high, house prices are pretty high. I don't think interest rates are substantially going down anytime soon. I could see a quarter point dip in the spring and a quarter point maybe in the fall or something, but nothing major. But if interest rates do drop drastically, house prices are going to fucking skyrocket. So that $300,000 house at 8%, if you wait till interest rates are 5%, it's going to be $370,000 house. So it's going to offset each other. So there's no like perfect scenario that you should be waiting for, in my opinion.
I agree.
Cool. All right. This, if you don't make this, Lucas.
Oh, yeah.
I think I'm ahead of you by 2 now, right?
Absolutely not. I'm ahead by 2.
You're not a...
I was up to like 6.
You were up to 4. You were up to 4.
There's no way. I think at least 3.
You're not making this.
How am I not making this?
Shenanigans! I almost got
just
you.
Just not even close. You better make it. Don't get the tight cheeks. Don't get them.
I don't get
don't
the tight cheeks. I just suck. Look at this little that can throw it off.
No. A swan.
I'm nervous now.
Hey, shoot the ball. Ooh, back that rim.
Was,
nice.
That was good.
Thanks for listening to today's episode. We hope you got some major value from our conversation. If you love what you learn, make sure you like, rate, review the show, and help us spread the word by telling a friend.
If you'd like to learn more about working with me inside one of my programs, we'll have those links in the show notes, along with all our social media handles, so you connect with us there for free. If there's a real estate question you'd like us to answer, feel free to send us a message, and we'll cover it in an upcoming show.